So if we did the service like we're supposed to, we're coming out of that video. Remember the video? And you better get smart. Remember that a while ago? I was like, bam, bam, dumb stuff. Have you ever done anything stupid? Raise your hand if you did anything stupid. If you're married, go ahead and raise your hand so your wife doesn't think you're an idiot. Raise your hand. I did something stupid. And whatever you do, don't go, yeah, I married him. No, don't do that. That was... And so I want to talk today about wisdom. And really, it's not really a sermon. I could preach it, but I just feel like I want to talk to you like a dad. And I know some of you that, you know, it's like, okay, you know, I'm definitely way older than you. I'm 54, by the way. And some of you, it's like, well, I'm not, I'm 50 years older than you or whatever, you know, so that would be 100 something. But my point is that I want to talk to you like I do my kids. And so I pour into them all the time. I'm always talking to them and saying, I called Austin yesterday and gave him a 3-minute little lesson. Nothing he did wrong. Just said, hey, this might happen in life and leadership. Blah, 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 and I teach him action the same way. And so I just want to pour into you some things that'll set you apart. And here's one of the things that set you apart. I put it on the screen, all campuses. It says, wisdom can really set you apart. It can separate you from the herd. It's the sure difference maker. Separating you from the herd. First of all, you want to get out of the people pile, okay? You want to get out of the people pile. Your whole life, you're in this big pile of people, and you want to separate yourself from the herd. And the quickest way to make you separate, you're just another, I want to be just another preacher. There's a million preachers in the world. I don't want to just preach a different sermon. I want to give you handles today at every campus so you can take those handles and you can apply on Monday what you're learning today on Sunday. So you separate yourself, and one of the sure ways to set yourself apart, separate yourself from the herd, is to learn wisdom, and wisdom comes from God. There's just basically wisdom, really what it is. It's just a smarter way to do things. We've all done things that were not wise. Remember when I came back, I don't even know why I'm saying this, but remember when I came back from vacation a couple years ago, and I was like, Pastor David's coming back. He's been gone for 3 weeks. And they put up pictures of my back. They're like, Pastor David's coming back. They're doing all kinds of, there's a lot of pressure to come back, and I didn't realize that I had bought some gummies. Anybody remember this story? And the gummies, if you're new here, I'm just going to tell you that there's gummies, and I've never been familiar with gummies that are medicinal. I always had just gummy bears, which are quite fabulous. And so it's Saturday night, I'm going to go preach, grabbed what I thought was gummies, come to find out somebody had sold some gummies at the health store. I traveled all over the world with them, brought them back, thought, oh my gosh, I didn't eat my candy. And so I ate like 4 of them, got extremely high. Nicole was able to read the package, and it said, this is Delta 8. I didn't even know what that meant. And it said, don't take more than a half of one. And I had eaten like 6 of them, and I was incapacitated, and all I wanted to do was eat pizza. Come on, that's what I did. Watched the movie, laughed so hard. I never laughed so hard in my life, and then fell asleep, and I'm back, and I'm back. And by Sunday morning, I was able to preach, but I still felt kind of shaky. I didn't like the being out of control. My point of that is have you ever done something stupid? But it's because you didn't know. But see, now you get information at church that makes a big difference in your life, and wisdom is the difference maker. Second slide would be, here's something wisdom does. It keeps you calm in the midst of something frightening. I want to drill in on this at all campuses today. Keeping yourself calm in the midst of something frightening means this. So many times in life, things are never going to turn out as bad as you think they're going to turn out. I have this statement that I just picked up a couple years ago in my own life, that it's never as bad as you think it is. Some of y'all don't write that down. It's never as bad as you think it is. This marriage is over. It's done. He did this. She did that. It's never as bad as you think it is. And the flip side of the coin is it's never as good as you think it is. Because we also romanticize what was. So we'll go forward, and maybe the person leaves or the job changes, and you fantasize and romanticize about how great it was. And it was good, but it wasn't that great. And to demonstrate this, it would be fishing. I remember telling a story about the fish that I caught, and the fish that I caught, and the fish that I caught, and it was unbelievable. The story grew over the years, the fish that I caught. And then I was looking at, remember when you had a Polaroid picture, you know? Let's break this down. Anybody remember Polaroid picture? It spits out right away, and it's like a lot of money, and it started turning colors, and you did this, and it turned out. Remember this there? And I looked, and the fish, what I had told, actually, it was this big. So life is never as great as what you imagined it was. So let's just be real and say wisdom needs to grab a hold of right now. Whatever you're facing that may be frightening, it's not going to kill you because God said in his word, grab wisdom. What is wisdom? He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. If it's health, with long life, I'll satisfy you and show me your salvation. So wisdom says, grab hold of that wisdom. Where do you grab hold of it? You grab hold of it most likely at church. You go to church, you hear the word, you have a good time. You sing Christmas carols in September. You sit next to fabulous people. You feel energized and you get hope. That's me. These that you're wise. So a lot of people tomorrow when you go to work around the water cooler, they'll be like, oh, my Lord. How was your weekend, Bob? Oh, it's horrible. I'm still hungover. I hung onto the toilet and just kept throwing up because we drank too much. And you're like, oh, I hung around a throne, but it wasn't a porcelain throne. I hung around the throne at church. We sang Christmas music. I got wisdom. I feel good. Somebody ought to shout amen to it. Wisdom is the difference maker. Everybody shout, wisdom is the difference maker. So let's break down a couple things about wisdom. This passage we're going to in Ecclesiastes, and it's really, really a killer passage that kind of demonstrates everything that I just said. It says there's a time for everything and a season for the activity. Like Christmas songs should be sung at Christmas time. Just kidding. There's a time to be born, a time to die, time to plant, a time to uproot, time to kill, a time to heal, time to tear down, a time to build up. Time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search, a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Time. In other words, I think the statement that I would like on your tennis shoe is that it's just that time. It's just that time. You have to know and I have to know just that time. It's time to hug. It's time to dance. You should download the song. We should be dancing, yeah. But if you miss the timing and now in marriage or relationship, you miss these opportunities, all this would be a good screenshot to put, you know, maybe on your phone for a while and go, hey, it's a time. What time is it? Well, it's time to dance. And nothing worse than being at a party and somebody's a sad sack. Can I get an amen? If you didn't say amen, somebody at Weldon, you're the problem. Okay. So there's a time for everything. You need to realize these times. I want to talk to you about parenting for a minute. This is wisdom in all kinds of shots. The teaching over the next 3 weeks is really going to help you a lot because I'm just going to talk to you about stuff like this. Parenting. Anybody got kids? Raise your hand if you got kids. You got more than one kid. Raise your hand if you got more than one kid. How many of y'all got one kid that you like more than the other kid? No, that was a trick question. Put your hand up. Okay. We know you do, but don't raise your hand. Okay. Father's Day and Mother's Day is coming. So we got kids. But have you ever, as a parent, maybe who had a toddler and then a teenager and then maybe as an adult kid, have you ever looked back and think, if I had it to do all over again? Raise your hand so young parents can see this. Do I have any, if I had it to do all over again, are there things that you look back and go, that was not wisdom? Stuff like, clean your room, clean your room, clean your room. Kids are going to love me for this part. Clean your room. Pastor David, would you pray for me? My daughter's 13. She won't clean your room. Hey, hang on. Hey, come here, come here. Let me tell you something. I just talked to a woman who has a 14-year-old that stays out and smokes marijuana, and she's so upset because she's pregnant. Now, what are you griping about? I'm not saying don't encourage them to clean their room, but the wise thing to do with a son and a daughter is to speak into who they are because you get what you brag on, not what you nag on. See what I'm saying today? My daughter, I brought her up here today. I brought her because I always prioritize her. When she was little and we were building the church, I remember specifically right now, it's coming to mind, Earth City. By the way, if you've never been there, like picture a room 15 times this big. And it's full of people right now. And all the way back towards the bathroom, it's like it just exploded. It was this massive thing that happened in St. Louis. And Ashton was about this big and he had a little bit of a list. And me and Nicole were working day and night building the church. And we had new member receptions. We like preached Sunday morning. I preached like between Saturday night and Sunday. I was doing at 1.8 or 9 live services. Then on Monday, we'd work all day. And then Monday night, we would do like new member receptions. And we'd go meet people. And so the only way we could see Ashton was just take her with us. So I've got pictures of her when she was this little touring the building with people and she's pointing to people and I always involved her. I'm talking about wisdom right now. Involved her in the conversation. So I was like, you know, kids are not to be, what do they say? Because I don't even know the stupid statement. To be seen, not to be heard. Is that right? I mean, if you got an ugly kid, this doesn't work. It's like, I don't want to see this kid. I didn't mean it. Yes, I did. Okay, so I mean, you know I'm right. Come on, go ahead. But now I said, hey, no. If you got something to say, say it. So she was little, and she would tell people, well, you know what's really cool is where we keep our snacks is over there. So the snacks are back there. Like, Ashton, that's my green room. Like, don't offer the snacks in there. My dad really doesn't care. If you come to Thursday, you can have the snacks. Let her talk. Then I always told her, I'm talking about wisdom. Everybody shout wisdom right now. I told her, if dad's in the middle of a lot of stuff and you need something and people are talking to me because they're grabbing on me all the time, just come up and yank on my leg and I'll do this. And this is what I did. She'd come up and grab on my leg. And I would look at the person and say, hey, what you're saying is very important. And I hate that that's happened to you, but would you give me a second? Because I always prioritized Ashley to find out what it was. And sometimes I would look down at her and I'd be like, what do you want? She's like, I want to go. Am I being real to you right now? My thing is, now my kids are all adults, and guess what? They're with me all the time. That Ashton put her tattoo on her arm that said, DC times two. That's what you want. You don't want a daughter with daddy issues. St. Louis, they're still here. But what you do want is to bring the wisdom. Where's the wisdom come from? When you go to church, you hear stuff like this. Your kids love it because they're like, hey, PD said I don't have to clean my room. That's not what I said, by the way. PD said there's gummies that are like better than, no, that's not what I said. By the way, it's an accident. Now, in life, to get success in life, and I've said this before, if you're new here, people have been here a while, they're gonna know this. Success in life is simply making more right decisions than wrong decisions. So that's really cool because you grow in this thing. You don't have to get there overnight, but you grow. So that's why small groups are so important. They start in September. I want everybody in a group. Look at your neighbor and say, I want you in a group. I want you in a group, and here's the way I want you in a group. Do you see these spots on my hands? There are spots on my hands, and they're called sunspots. They're little brown spots, and I didn't have them when I was 8. I didn't have them when I was 28. But as I got older, from living outside, being outside, I got these age spots. Look for people that have these. Because people that have these have had more Christmases than you have had. They've had more marriages than you have had. They've had more trouble than you've had. So if you ever see people with these spots, go, hey, come here, I got a question to ask you. So when you put yourself in groups here at Faith Church, you're going to get around people who didn't have a business, started a business, and grew the business. You're going to get in groups where people started the business, grew the business, and failed the business. You're going to see people at our church that are kingdom builders, and they're helping us do all the great things we're doing, and they're very successful. But they'll tell you, hey, I remind myself sometimes of Zacchaeus in the Bible. I was very successful, and I was smart. I climbed to the top of the trees when everybody else was thinking down here. I went up here, and I elevated it. But then Jesus looked at me and realized Zacchaeus was short. That's why he did it, that he was short in some areas. I've noticed through life that people that are very successful are usually short with their family. So that's why I decided to look at what other people did, looked at the age spot people, and I saw preachers go, man, if I had it to do all over again, sure wish my kids didn't hate church. Who's going to take this over when you're done? I don't know, it's not going to be my kids because they went in different fields because they hate church. So what I did was I decided that I was going to bring my kids with me. And I know you can't always do this. Maybe you work for somebody. But every time you can bring your kids with you, they are not just your kids. They're your legacy. Let me paint it more for you. They're the people that are going to pick out your nursing home. You want them smart. Come on, go with me on this. You want them to like you. Like, that's a good deal. Take them there. Don't leave me here. I told my kids, you lived with me so long, however many days and years you lived with me, that's how many days and years you're going, I'm going to live with you. I changed your diaper. No, come on, somebody. No, I'm never going to be there. Okay. My point is that your life is never as bad as you think it is. You're going to look back and say, man, I wish I could do that again. So let's don't wish that we could do it again. Let's find out information in small groups and going to church every week so we can apply wisdom. Wisdom gets our kids with us, keeps us with the same person, because somebody ought to give God praise today. Come on, don't just watch me on a screen at those campuses. Participate. I'll be in St. Les next week watching you. You grow in this. Luke 2, let's go to Luke 2, verse 52. It says, and Jesus did what? Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. So we see that you can grow in wisdom and stature. If Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, how many of y'all think we can grow in wisdom and stature? And I love this next part. It says, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor. By the way, one day of favor is worth 1,000 days of labor. You don't even know why you got that job. You don't even know how you got here. You're like, oh my gosh, how did this happen? It was just favor. So you can grow in wisdom and favor. And I love this next part. What does it say? Read it in all classes. What does it say? With God and man. Come on, Earth City, everywhere. What? With
God.
Royal Palm, everybody. What? With
God and man.
So you can grow in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and man. Now let's break down again. I just want to talk to you. Talk to you about how to grow in favor with people. Have you ever seen people, you're like, man, I wish I had as much money as they thought they were worth? Just annoying, arrogant, know-it-all. You don't want to be a know-it-all, you want to be a learn-it-all. I tell my kids all the time, when we're around people, successful people, I say, try to ask as many questions as you can. Because if you ask a question, you can get an answer. Don't waste your time with these people talking about you and what all you know, because you already know what you know. You need to know what you don't know, and you need to know what they know. And it gets harder, by the way, as you get more successful, because people will trap you and they'll flip the script on you, go, say enough about me, tell me about what you're doing. And your ego gets in, your insecurity gets in, then you, and then within 2 seconds you need to identify, no, I'm not here to talk about me, I'm here to learn what you got. I don't know nothing, can you help me? And you get information, you get wisdom. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Talking about growing in favor with God and man. There's a book you should read. You ought to write this down. It's called How to Win Friends and Influence People. How to Win Friends and Influence People. You can influence and win people over by celebrating what they've done. People love for you to tell them how great they are. They love it. Wow, this is amazing. By the way, if you want to be around successful people, most successful people are successful because they had something to prove. They had a daddy issue. They had a mama issue. So you see somebody, you're like, oh my God, look at that. Look what they did. Somehow they're trying to impress somebody, and they work their butt off to impress the person who's probably not even looking. So if you can be the person who comes beside them and goes, hey, whoa, wait a minute. Look at that. You built that building? I've never seen a boat like this in my life. And so that's one of the reasons why people oftentimes, I find myself in cool scenarios, is because it's not a suck up, it's not fake. I feel that they need it. So I give them what they need. And if you give enough people what they need, they will give you inadvertently what you need. Does that make sense? Raise your hand. I'm talking that this is real simple, like practical stuff, but it's revolutionary in the area of business and winning friends and influencing people. Have you ever been around some people and you're like, they talk in and they want to advance, or they want to grow in the company, and you're like, how do I tell you this? You're really talented. You're really well spoken. You're really smart. How do I tell you this? People don't like you. It should make you laugh unless that hurt. So what you want to do is you want to be the best you that you can be. And if you don't feel good about you, I mean, from what you wear, have you ever felt, some days you felt, come on, girls, go with me. You're like, I feel pretty right now. I mean, my eyelashes are right. My weave is right. My nails are on point. Like, one of them isn't falling off. Come on, somebody. I'm not worried about losing one of these. Raise your hand, right? Everything's good. You're like, I feel good about me. But if you ever woke up and think, I just feel ugly today. Raise your hand. I just feel ugly. Nicole says, I feel ugly. I'm like, you're so beautiful. Nicole really is one of those people that just woke up like this. She just wait. I'm like, my gosh, beautiful. But she said, I feel ugly. Got a couple closets full of stuff. I have nothing to wear. Can you identify with that? Raise your hand. Have nothing to wear. You need to have a yard sale and like, you could fill up 10 subdivisions. But you just get in these moments to where you feel confident and where you don't feel confident. And that's just probably going to happen. But we got to pass by how we feel. And we have to have a revelation and go, you know what? I'm just as pretty as I was. It might, may not be, but I've got to present pretty. And here's one of the best ways to present pretty. Here's what I tell Christians. Here's the greatest thing you could do. Just be nice. People like nice people. Raise your hand if you know something. You just like nice people. Come on, every campus, raise your hand. Just be nice. We could win more people to Jesus than ever if we didn't go around and be like, hey, you know what? I go to church. You shouldn't drink, you shouldn't smoke, and you shouldn't chew, and you shouldn't run with girls that do. You want to go to church and be like me? God, no. If you're going to do that, tell them you're an atheist and help us in reverse. So you just be more attractive. This is revelation right now. Jesus grew in wisdom and favor with God and man. One, we know Jesus went to the synagogue. His parents were looking for him. They said, where is he? He went where wisdom was because he was gaining wisdom. I'm telling you, the more like Jesus you become, the more hungry you'll get for wisdom and God's word, and you'll make your decisions that'll be better because you got the Holy Spirit living and abiding. Somebody ought to shout amen on the inside of you. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's by the Spirit of the Lord. The greater one is on the inside of you. In other words, you got a teleprompter. You see, politicians and preachers, thank you for coming today. It's so lovely to have you at our church. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give it, it's too robotic. It's not, you don't feel it. You want somebody, I don't know exactly what I'm going to say, and here's the bad part about what I do. Joel, I love him so much, and he's so good at what he does, and he reads everything. I've been with him, and he'll be in the middle of the sermon, mess it up, and go, guys, I'm sorry. We'll edit this out. Can I start back again from two paragraphs back? And I look at that and say, that's amazing that he memorizes that, and that's unbelievable. Here's the deal about me. I'm hearing most of the stuff the same time you guys are hearing this. Okay, we didn't need to hear about the gummies, and it would have been better for my reputation if we didn't talk about the gummies again. They told me that 2 years ago when the gummy incident happened. But I just felt like, oh my gosh, here's a dumb thing that I've done. The gummies, okay? But if I thought about it, I wouldn't do it. But here's the kicker on it. Because I am being me, you're attracted to me because you go, he's not pretending, because if he's pretending, he wouldn't pretend to be that. That's for sure. We got ourselves an organic preacher here today. I'm not sure that he won't slip and cut. So then you leave going, if God could use him, am I telling you the truth? Then God could use me. I'm here to tell you to be the authentic you. When you feel pretty, when you feel ugly, when you feel dumb, there's a teleprompter on the inside of you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Somebody ought to give him praise today in the house. Come on. I feel well and getting up and furnace and getting up. Even Sunset Hills full of white people. If you're new here, you know, I get it. In Sunset Hills, you pull up to 37 acres, beautiful glass cathedral, and you're like, oh my gosh, look at this church. Wonder what kind of order, what kind of orchard is in there. And then you come in and hear me and they go, this is like summer and this is the gaster, like the filling guy. Unfortunately, guys, this is it. 1 John chapter 2, let's go there. It's about wisdom living on the inside of you. You're going to love this. You're going to want to take out your phone, take a picture of this one. But you, everybody shout, me.
Me.
But you have been anointed. You hold a sacred appointment. You have been given an unction or a teleprompter from the Holy One, and you know the truth, or you know all things. In other words, as I'm wrapping this up, everything you need to know, you already know. In fact, most of the time I've found when I talk to people and they go, Pastor David, I don't know how to make this decision. And I talk to them for a couple of minutes, I go, I bet you know what to do. You're just afraid to do it. Anybody ever knew you needed to do it, but you didn't want to do it? Because you didn't want to walk down to the basement and say, hey, you can't live here anymore. You have to do the hard thing. But the Holy Spirit on the inside of you will start leading you and guiding you. And here's the cool thing about it. People are like, you know, how do I know if it's the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit's going to say stuff like this. He's going to say, like, you haven't prayed today. But not like, you haven't prayed today. It's more like, hey, you haven't prayed today. Hey, you haven't shared your faith today. You know God's been dealing with you about going to Growth Track. And PD keeps saying that, to go to Growth Track, because you connect with God, connect with people, and make a difference. He'll say stuff like, you know, you really should do that tithing thing, because when you honor God, God honors you. And if you don't honor God, God can't honor you. Yeah. And the devil will say stuff like, you don't deserve to pray. You know what you did? Wow. See, sin will keep you from your Bible, or the Bible will keep you from sin. So this condemnation, this is wisdom right now, that's not from God. That's from the devil. So what I want you to do is, over the next probably 28 days, I've developed this little program and strategy that I want you to walk through with me. And they're going to put it on the screen. There's five things I want you to do over the next 26 to 28 days. I want you to read, reflect, pray, declare, and share. And here's what that means. Every day, I'm going to send you, if you're on our email list, I'm going to send you an email. And the email is either going to be from me or Nicole, and it's going to be things that we want you to read today. Just a short little thing that'll take you about 1 minute. Then reflect on that. Then pray about that for 1 minute. Then declare those things that you said and reflected upon, and then share it. In other words, one of the most important things you can do is share your faith through your social media. You have a voice, and it's called Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. And so every day you're at 8 Central. I'm going to be in your inbox. I'm going to be, if you follow Faith Church's account, and you should, and I want you to share it, because there's a lot of people in your life and in your world and your influence that their life will be changed. And one of the things that we know that wisdom is wise. And Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Yes. And so when you win souls, that's the wise thing to do. And so over the next 26 to 28 days, how many of y'all raise your hand and say, you'll do that with me? I mean, you won't even recognize yourself after 28 days of doing this little thing. Me and Nicole are going to record 1 minute prayer, 60 seconds. We're going to be in your inbox every day, or on your social media every day. And for 1 minute, you're going to pray this prayer. And at the end of 28 days, you're not going to recognize the growth, because you're putting yourself in an accelerated program to just be smarter with raising your kids. Or you're single, you're a student, with marrying the right person, because how many would vote with me that it's important to procreate with the right person? Yes. Raise your hand, everybody. Okay, so you gotta have the right person. So you're gonna be led in everything that you do. So this weekend at church, in a moment, I wanna pray for you. But there's a couple of things I wanna recap, just from my heart to you as a dad, okay? Some of the smartest things you could ever do in life is stay calm. Knee-jerk reaction. I said it. Anybody ever said something you wish you had not have said? Anybody ever thought, man, if I could go back and grab that email out of their inbox, I would. Anybody like me and ever tried to go to your spouse or friend and get their phone and delete the text? Come on, raise your hand right now. Then you go to the deleted text to make sure it was deleted from the deleted text. Okay, so you're a hothead. It's not everybody, but you know who you are. And the truth is, the person next to you probably knows who you are. Okay? Okay, so stay calm. Everybody shout, stay calm. Stay calm. Then, as I said at the beginning, it's never as bad as you think it is. This thing that the devil's trying to freak you out about, they broke up with you or you lost it. There's some people going through some tough stuff at our church. The Bible didn't say we wouldn't go through stuff. He just said, don't grow weary in well-doing. You will reap if you faint not. So he didn't say you're not going to go through. You are. The good news is you're just going to go through it. So a wise person goes to church, and then ultimately, here's the thing I'm begging you to do. I will get on my knees and beg you to do this. You have got to get in a group. Because if you get around the right people, it's going to change the way you think. It's going to change the way you communicate. Smart people have coaches in their life. Me and Nicole spent the last 3 days on Instagram, if you know, with John Maxwell. And we were with John, and we were just hanging out with him, which is amazing. But it's really weird to be sitting next to people, and he goes, oh, hang on, it's LeBron James. Tell him LeBron what to say. All these different sports guys and authorities, about every president you can imagine, from Clinton to Reagan, whoever, all these guys. John has got way more age spots than I do. Because he's had a lot more Christmases. I'm aging quick because I get Christmas in September and in December. Do you get what I'm saying, though? So if I put my position, if I put my plate at the table, you don't want to be the smartest person at the table. You actually want to be the dumbest person at the table. So you got to make sure you're at the table. So coming up in September, I got at the top of my list here to make sure I even gave you the dates to push you into this. Starting September 16th, all campuses shout, September the 16th. Starting September the 16th, you need to be in a group. I don't know these people. Well, you need to. Because some of the deepest relationships that are life-changing, that you are going to have so much fun, you're going to look back and say, man, if I didn't know these people, we wouldn't have the vacation time together. If I didn't know that, I wouldn't have known how to do in this situation. God is bringing all of our campus together with the right people to get the right information so we can change the world. Because the government doesn't have the answer. Come on, somebody. Politics doesn't have it. I don't know if you saw it, but a couple thousand people got killed in Morocco, right, because of an earthquake, right, that happened yesterday on my birthday. And the fires are hitting Maui, and devastation is everywhere. I'm here to say, what's that mean? People get ready. Jesus is coming soon and it won't be long. People get ready. Jesus is coming soon and it won't be long. Oh yeah, we're about to meet Jesus when he splits the eastern sky. They're going to say, it's an alien. And he'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt, it's the King of Kings with a sword in his mouth on a white horse coming back for his church. And we got to get together, stick together, get wisdom, not just education, but wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge. Give God 10 seconds of crazy praise. Thank him for what he did. Come on, every campus today. Lord, we thank you. We magnify. We glorify your name. We give you praise today in your house. Come on, a little bit more. I feel the anointing on that. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Look at your neighbor and just make a sound. Some of y'all learning. I said, hey, 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 hey. Sometimes I do that. I walk through my neighborhood going, if it had not been for Jesus, and I'm the only one on that street, and how he's been to me, and I just walk around making noise.
Yeah.
Excuse me? Oh, I wasn't talking to you. Because there's stirring in your heart. It's stirring. I feel it right now. I can feel it. This is amazing. I want to tell you something. Play behind me a little bit. I don't know how to describe it, but every time I'm in Florida, it happens. When I'm in Florida, I only have one shot at this. Sunset, you know, over the weekend, Saturday night, sunset in the morning. No, Earth City, sunset, Earth City, sunset, Earth City, sunset. And out of one of those, you know, there'll be something that's like, okay, that one will work. I got one shot at this one. So it's just got to be right. But here's something that only happens at this campus. And it's happening for you in St. Louis. When I'm here and I'm worshiping on the front row, it started about a year and a half, 2 years ago. All of a sudden, it would be like I was in the room at Weldon for a moment. I would be in the room at Sunset. I'd be in the room at Earth City. I'd be in the room at Ferguson. I'd be in the room at Earth City, Royal Palm. I would just be, I could feel myself in the room. And I don't know how to describe it other than when I get in a zone up here, I can feel it. And I feel that you're not watching on a screen, that you're getting it. And then people tell me when I get back to St. Louis, Pastor David, last week, it was just like you were in the room talking to me. That's the Holy Spirit connecting to you. And I don't want you to make light of that. This is a moment. And God is stirring something on the inside of you at every campus. And as we go, I know I'm a little over on time, but I feel like I want to pray a prayer. I feel like I'm supposed to pray a prayer. I feel like there's a mandate right now. I want Nicole to come up here with me. And we're going to pray a prayer that's going to help you get wisdom. Because a lot of you, you thought it was education and now you got student loans, but you do have some ways to communicate better because of the education. But then some of you are like, man, I need wisdom in this marriage because I'm struggling and I don't know. And some of you have been overreacting to the kids and then you feel aggravated and mad at yourself. But Jesus is going to change that. Get your faith stirred up. And I feel like I'm not even supposed to pray. I want Nicole to pray for you right now. And I want you to close your eyes and I want you to stretch your hands toward heaven at every campus. And I want Nicole to release a wisdom breakthrough prayer over people's lives right now.
Father God, in and of ourselves, we don't know what to do. God, and actually to even make that statement, we have to step out of pride and self-knowing and step into the humility. Stop trying to have our way and open ourselves up to having your way. But God, when we humble ourselves and pray and seek your face, you hear from heaven and you heal our land. You heal our finances. You heal our hearts. You heal our marriages. You heal relationships. Matter of fact, your healing anointing goes out before us and many times heals things that we never even know there was a problem because you've gone before us and you've healed it. You've touched it. You've anointed it. You've guided us. You've directed us around potholes and landmines. But in order to do that, we need wisdom. So you say in James, any man who lacks wisdom, let him ask of the Lord who gives liberally. God, when we pray for wisdom, you don't put it out in little specks and little dots and little thimblefuls. No, you pour it out from heaven with buckets and oceans of wisdom pouring out. God, I declare that the wisdom of Solomon is available. And we open our hands to heaven today and we say, speak to us, God, for we listen. We incline our ear to you, not for the ways that we want, but for the ways that you have. Because our thoughts are not your thoughts and our ways are not your ways, because your ways are higher and bigger